idiot, Robert sent me an email, said, yep, that's the guy, still crazy, and so was the interviewer.
Oh, yeah.
They're nuts. Anyways.
You think this is his fantasy life, or do you think this guy really experiences this stuff?
No, it doesn't matter. The problem is he makes too much out of his experience.
If you got elevated to some dimension where you were standing in front of the keys of Enoch and downloaded all this information about the spiritual oversoul of the planet or something like that, I mean, you'd make a lot out of it too.
Yeah, that's the immaturity, spiritual immaturity. It's like he doesn't realize he's just downloading the thoughts of the human experience, which is what Bob's point is.
Well, it's pretty far out, human experience. I mean, what if it has something to do with the blueprint for the overall spiritual development of the planet or something like that?
Well, it wouldn't matter. The spiritual development of the planet is only one quarter of the situation. That's on the astral body. It's puny. We're watching technology evolve on its own, leaving us behind.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I investigated a little further. There was a YouTube about his wife was being interviewed by the crazy guy that interviewed Hirtog. His wife has a show, and she interviews people, so she interviewed Hirtog's wife.
Well, wait. No, you're saying Hirtog's wife has an interview show.
No, I'm saying the guy that interviewed Hirtog.
Steinfeld.
His wife has her own show.
No, no, he doesn't have a wife. You're talking about Paula Gloria.
Oh, okay.
Paula Gloria, the blonde woman, right?
Right.
Now, that is a whacked out girl. Anyways, she,
They're not related?
No, they were lovers years ago.
Oh, okay, because I saw pictures of them together. That's why I assumed she was his wife.
No, no, they're lovers and they're both not so. What's his name?
She interviews Hirtog's wife,
right?
Desiree.
Yeah,
that woman is gorgeous.
Who, Desiree or the blonde?
No, Desiree.
Well, I met her and she didn't seem that gorgeous to me. I don't know what.
Maybe that's just how she comes across on video or the way she was made up.
Yeah, I think she was made up.
Absolutely beautiful. Anyway, she's into the environmental movement. Can't be all bad. I mean, your heart's got to be in the right place if you're trying to do the right thing. It's not so easy for me to just discredit people entirely based on, you know, the fact that they're attempting to do something that they feel is useful.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You don't know enough about them. I know them. Paula's them. Most of them discredit the whole movement or any movement that they're involved in. Paula's a totally idiot.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous people.
Oh.
And Alan was okay when I first met him, but he's sort of become a little more ridiculous and desperate over the last 5 years.
Right. Well, I don't know. He sure comes up with like I say, you know, I met a guy once years ago. He was taking people out to the desert for spiritual retreats. And he was a charismatic guy, and he seemed like a pretty decent guy. And he said that he'd had some experience where he'd been taken inside some chamber in Mount Shasta and was hanging out with these ascended masters and stuff. And you know, I don't know whether he was. You know, He appeared to believe what he was saying when he said it. So I'm just saying, if something like that happened to you, you'd make a lot out of it. How could you not make a lot out of that?
Well, I had some great spiritual experiences, and I was commended by the Evergreens for not making a lot out of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the big spiritual mistake. People make something out of it.
Yeah.
It's just chemicals in their brain, like Bob Carr says, and they don't get Krishnamurti. That's what Krishnamurti's message is. Don't make significance out of it.
Right.
And that's UG's message.
We don't know that either of them had the kinds of experiences that some of these people purport to have.
If they did,
they might be blown away. There was a woman on Coast to Coast this last week who, she has a heart problem, so she's died several times. And when she died, her consciousness went through these barriers that that normally a consciousness in locked inside of one of these bodies never is able to get past. But she, the first thing she described was this roaring sound of the astral planes and this tremendous vibration, which normally would frighten the hell out of the average person, but because she was dying or was dead when it happened, she, her essence or her soul or her consciousness or whatever permitted itself to move through that stage. And then she moved into higher spiritual dimensions where she encountered people such as Jesus and the Buddha and so on. And she seemed to be graced with tremendous experiences and revelations and so on. And she didn't seem, she wasn't whacked out in terms of being egomaniacal about her experiences, but she did feel that she had been sort of given a gift, and that because of the spiritual ignorance on this planet, she was asked to communicate what happened to her. Subsequently, she's able to do this fairly frequently. Her mind or her soul or her essence or whatever sort of got the hang, since she died several times because of her heart attack, her mind or her essence or whatever sort of got the hang of moving through these various stages. So now it kind of happens to her all the time. She crosses over and comes back, and when she crosses over, she seems to meet these, you know, incredible, intelligent, beautiful beings, and then she has a message, you know, for the rest of us, which is kind of a message of hope in a way, I suppose, or something. But I don't, she didn't seem, she seemed, just seemed like a nice person. And I can't, it's hard for me to like to simply discredit someone like that. But on the one hand, on the other hand, I don't find it useful to think about her experiences because they didn't happen to me. And I have no way I would prefer to do UG Krishnamurti and say to myself, well, I can't make her experiences significant because they simply they didn't happen to me, and all I have is my experience, and I have to go with that because I have nothing else. Anyway, it looks like Carr just jumped on. Do you want to say anything?
What do you mean, say anything?
In response to all my blabbering I just did.
No, I don't want to respond to that.
Okay, I'm going to dial Carr up.
Okay.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Robert. Let me hang up. I'll get you and Bob on.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hello. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Kay, everybody's here.
Yeah, I had some problem this morning with my sound device. It was off, and I don't know. Computers does that sometimes.
So you got to
fix
it.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
But it turns off. It, you know, it just, I don't know why.
Mm. So you're a half hour late, right? You know that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You had to get things working.
Well, I didn't notice. You know, I was waiting for the call, and then I thought, well, I'll check, and then I saw the sound device came up and said turned off.
So, okay, so let's, shall we might as well start. Any comment? Yeah, her attack is crazy, still crazy after all these years.
Well, I looked at that video. Yeah, that's an old video, though.
Oh, no, that's just last year, 2007.
Really?
Yeah,
it looks pretty good.
The date's on it. It's just, you know, about a year and a half or more.
Hey, Robert?
The guy.
Robert, can I butt in? Is there any part of anything that guy that says that piques your curiosity or makes you wonder if there could be something true about what he's saying?
Ooh, we're talking?
Yeah.
No.
Do you think he's a complete phony idiot making all this up just to aggrandize his own ego and try to make money or something?
I can't say, you know, what his motivation is. I don't know, you know.
Well, what if he actually experienced some of these things and he's all, you know, it was...
Hey, go to the mental hospital and start talking to patients. Find out what they're experiencing.
Well, right. but it could indicate that these dimensions, these experiences, these places are real. It's just that the way that the participant, the human being, encounters them freaks their ego out, and maybe their ego goes a little nuts. Doesn't necessarily suggest that these dimensions are not real.
All I can say is if you believe in that, then it's real. If you don't believe in it, then it's not real.
But what if you had that experience? You were precipitated out of your body and you found yourself standing before, you know, some magnificent human creature.
Yeah, right. Well, this is a fantasy. Well, God, it's a mythology. It's the most ancient mythology that human beings have. You know, I want to be an intermediary between you and the divine, the absolute, the purity, the super intelligence. It's all a game. I can fool you, so I can fool myself, and then
when you were channeling, something was speaking through you. Did you always know that you were faking it, or did you believe that something that wasn't you was speaking through you?
I was aware that there is a reservoir of consciousness there, and if you tap into it, it will present, you know, it will take on a personality, a form, and relate all this information. It's there. All this information, all these ideas are there. But all the space crap is just another version of Madame Blavatsky's Masters in the Himalayas, you know, or the Jesus myth, you know, or the all of them, the Krishna myth, you know. It's all a symbolism of something greater, something bigger, something, you know, more grand. You just gotta look at it with, you know, with the cool intellectual surgical steel knife, root it out.
Well, something that I took away from U.G. Krishnamurti that made a deep impression on me. Anytime you think that you have this sense of yourself as, say, being a little I, and that there's a greater I out there that you then need to discover in order to find out who you are, that very mechanism of believing that you have an I and that there's another I creates a separation in the mind, which is false to begin with, because there is no separation.
Right.
So that did make a deep impression on me, and I do consider that when I think about these things.
Good. Yeah, let it fester and boil.
Because the eye that's seeking... I mean, if the ultimately awareness must already know itself. So if you believe that you don't know yourself, you've created a separation that's false.
Awareness is not aware of itself being aware.
No?
No.
It's total unconsciousness. It's just void.
It's just the raw experience without the name attached to it. Without the description. I'm looking at the tree without the word T-R-E-E. That's all.
Yeah.
You just see what's there without any description attached to it. So you don't even know what you're looking at.
Right. But there's still you and there's the tree, so there's a separation there. I mean, animals are aware of themselves, so how deep does this false
animals
awareness?
Have a little bit of awareness of themselves, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not much, but little.
Yeah.
Enough. The ones that have been around humans have developed that this eye consciousness to some degree, like dogs. And,
right.
And, you know, I had a chimp, and the chimp, I was observing the chimp, how it functioned. He had an awareness of himself. It was very rudimentary, very simple, you know, but it was there.
Well, you know, are you satisfied with your experience, or are you seeking experience?
I just sort of think and feel that experiences, no matter what they are, you know, are just another form of experience. Just another experience.
And there's no experience. You don't feel like there's some experience that you might possibly be able to have that could satisfy you more deeply than you've ever been satisfied.
I'm not looking for it. Because I know that you can experience from the, you know, from the very bottom to the very top, and it's still within the framework of experience. It's still within the structure of what has been known, what has been recorded, and what has been experienced before.
Which you would then consider to be sort of dead. But how did that how did that experience come about in the first place if it wasn't fresh when it was first experienced?
When it's fresh, it's not known, it's not recognized. Only the memory comes and gives it life, records it.
Right.
But if there's no recorder there, then it doesn't get recorded.
Well, I know for myself, yeah. I have a general feeling of dissatisfaction of my daily experience.
Well, you want something more, of course. You want to be rid of this anxiety.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, so you don't think that's possible to... You might as well get used to the anxiety because it's not possible to ever be rid of it. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that it can be less burdensome to you.
Uh-huh.
You know, less paramount.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Somebody had an aphorism once. They said, you can't change what is, but you can learn to like it.
Not learn to like it. That's what religion does.
Uh-huh.
It tells you to put up with it.
Right.
It's like, you got a mother-in-law, put up with her. Don't kill her. You know, strangle her.
Yeah.
Get rid of her.
Yeah.
Yesterday I went to have an ice cream in the evening, and a couple walked in, and the mother-in-law came in, and she was a real bitch, you know? She was controlling everything. And I thought, Jesus Christ, you know. In India, the mother-in-law is more important than the husband to the wife, to get a good mother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, let's carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep with Eugene, and it'll burn you out and toast you up a little. Serve you. You make a nice sandwich for someone. No, Scott, it's okay. You've just been reading it, and, you know, I've been...
Well, you know, Yuji admits that, you know, he says, I'm not talking, the body's just programmed to respond, you know. But the body does have its needs, and it does want to survive, and it feels threatened, and I don't see any way around it.
No, that's a fact, you know. But I used to watch Yuji, you know, and I just noticed that there was no fear there, you know, of coming to an end. But he was careful. He wouldn't step off a cliff, you know. But if he saw a cobra or something, he knew it was poisonous, but he didn't react to all the human fear about it.
Right.
And, you know.
He said he trusted the body to take care of itself. He said the body will run when it needs to. It'll fight when it needs to.
Right. Has more intelligence than all the doctors put together.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, do you want to jump
but
in?
It's not that I wouldn't go to see a doctor. I mean, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's super intelligent. It heals itself. It, you know.
Do you have any comments you can add to this to finish this discussion, Bob?
No, I'm ready to go on.
Okay, Robert, be careful. Your microphone was starting to blip out again, so I don't know if you were touching the cord or whatever.
No, I'm not touching it. I just here. Let me push that. Is that any better?
For the moment.
Okay, I won't touch anything.
Yeah.
Okay, but speak a little closer to the microphone, but not so close that it makes wind go over the microphone.
I need a.
All right. So
this is session 9, right? We ate last night, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so this is session 9?
9. Jesus.
Wind 9, Scott?
Yeah,
is it 9?
It's number 9.
Okay, so it's December 22nd, and we're going to into the turning point. I think we covered that whole period in L.A. and then the cafe. And do you give up the cafe in 79? That's why you go back to India?
Which cafe? Are we talking about the Great Cafe?
Yeah, the one where Bob Powers died.
Yeah, well, I left there. I was having a lot of... there's a power struggle going on, and it was the great.
Okay, you don't need to go into any more. We'll describe the transition after Bob Powers dies.
Yeah, there's a power struggle.
Yeah, and then how you get into India, back to India again?
Yeah, right. Okay, that's good. Fire it up.
Okay, Scott.
Okay.